Our next guest is a talented musician. And get ready, this is a great song, ladies and gentlemen. And my promise to you is my holiday gift to you folks, it's going to blow the roof off this dump. He will be performing the title song from his most recent album. It's called Right Here. It's right here. And it's called Start the Car. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jude Cole. Jude!
How about that? Yep. Well, you know what? If he can blow the roof off of the David Letterman dump, he can certainly blow the roof off of this one. Hello, Jude.
John, how are you? That was good.
Yeah. Well, you know, not everybody gets on the David Letterman show. So
no, he gave me a very nice intro. I feel like I should be interviewing you, though.
No. You know, I've been listening to both of your albums for the past few days, and Jude, I got to tell you, it's awesome. They're both awesome. The songs are awesome. The lyrics are awesome. Your musicianship is awesome. The production is awesome. It's just really impressive. I was going to say, instead of hello, Jude, I was going to go, hey, Jude. But then I figured, you know, people might confuse that with some sort of Beatles song. So I went with hello instead.
I'm 8 years older than the song, so I'm the OG. I'm the OG Jude. But, you know, it's kind of surreal talking to you, and especially about this record, because, you know, my mind is swirling right now because it's going back into time where my mother used to listen to WLS constantly.
Oh, my God.
And so hearing about WLS, you, WGN, I have the actual sense of Illinois air in my psyche right now. I can literally smell it.
Where did you grow up in Illinois?
I grew up in East Moline. Well, actually, it was a town called Silvis at Carbon Cliff. But it was on the Mississippi River there, and Chicago was a dream away. You know, that was that was another universe to us. We lived in the cornfields, and so my first plane ride was to Los Angeles in '78, where I then continued or began a struggle that lasted for many years.
I understand the struggles that go on in Los Angeles for everyone who goes out there to try to make it in whatever aspect of show business they're interested in, because literally everybody goes there, and there's only so much room for actors and musicians and bands, and it's a crapshoot, really. And you were very, very successful.
Remember that scene in Officer and a Gentleman where, you know, the sergeant is just drilling him to death, Richard Gere, and he finally starts crying and says, I got nowhere else to go. That was me. You know, I had to stick it out because I literally had nowhere else to go.
Yeah, because if you went any further, you'd be in the ocean. So that's not going to work. So, your resume is just absolutely astounding. Oh, first of all, let me back up a minute. You know, you were talking about the radio stations. So, I've been dealing with this since I got here. WGN is not a music station, right? So, we do not have music rights. We don't pay ASCAP or BMI or whatever the licensing services are. However, there is a little wiggle room in the fact that you can play almost 60 seconds of almost anything before you cross over that copyright line. So I've taken it upon myself to go through both of your albums and hopefully make shorter versions of songs that will still have an impact, that will still bring that will still have the message that it's intended to have, and people will understand what the songs and the lyrics are about. That's just something I got to deal with.
Most of these songs are covers, and they're really great songs. Although I took my time to, you know, try to find songs that were not like household name songs. The only two on the record that anyone would know would be the obvious "I Only Have Eyes for You" and then I Want to Be Your Man.
Your Man.
The Beatles.
Now, wait a minute. Aren't we talking about two albums here?
We are, yeah. So I just figured you were probably talking about the oldies record.
No. I was talking about the whole kit and caboodle.
Okay. The other one is all my songs except for one, which was a tribute to. There's a song called Starry Eyes. I was in a band called The Records. We actually played at the Loop out on the pier and in the Loop studios back in 1979, 1980. In a band called The Records.
No middle name pun intended
there, John. But we were in a band called The Records, and yes, it was a real band.
Yeah.
So that was a long time ago, but
You've been busy since then. I mean, I went on YouTube and looked at a couple of videos of you. And then I went down and looked at the comments that people can put on there. And I have to say that 9 out of 10 comments were, this guy is fantastic. How come I don't know about him? What happened? He's a fantastic singer, a songwriter. These songs are great. What in the world's going on? Why don't we know more about Jude Cole? Well, we'll find out why we don't know more. And dig into both of the albums when we come back on 720 WGN. That is our guest, and a song from one of his two new albums, Jude Cole. So, Wax Wings, Jude. Give me the back story on that.
I did not expect that as the
really
first question.
No,
well, because know, that song is.
I love this. I love the song.
A little bit of a. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
I think I was writing a kind of open letter to the maybe the owners of the world who would like to turn us all into AI subjects. It's kind of flying too close to the sun.
Yes.
I think they're after the God particle.
Exactly.
And so I compared it to the Icarus story and just wrote that song, and it was kind of fun.
That's kind of
a template.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot at all. Why don't you tell me what you want to talk about?
No, that was good. I did not expect it, but that was good.
But that's exactly what I got out of it. Was the thing that I thought about that was really cool about the Wax Wings was exactly that. If you get too close to the sun, you're going down. And that can be taken in a variety of different ways, metaphorically, when it comes to lyrics and music and things of that nature. Now, let's get to the... So, we've got a lot to get in here. The album that is from is called, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Coup de Main? Is that correct?
Coup de Main.
Coup de Main.
French for secret attack.
But there's no song called... with that title in the album.
Well, in the song Taking Away My Home, which is really more about kind of all of the what Europe knows well, all too well, there's probably 150 regulations on their kitchen table. All the regulations that have developed over the last, I guess, 40 years in America have kind of made it possible for them to come into your house and find you guilty of something if they ever wanted to. And in my case, I had a couple of things with my property that just made me go, geez, like this is, this is ridiculous.
I got the impression
taking away my home.
I got the impression it was almost a protest song.
It is a bit. And, yeah. You know, that bridge or chorus, whichever you want to call it, it's really not a chorus. It's kind of a bridge, but it says, no coup de main, no F-15s, no government, just kings and queens who will raise the flag to end the fight hidden in plain sight.
Do you know Dennis DeYoung, by any chance, the lead singer of Styx?
I don't know Dennis. I know Tommy.
You two would get along famously.
Are we both a bit of protesters, huh?
Oh, my God. He can go off. You would not believe it. And I got to tell you, he's not even... Subtlety is not his middle name, all right? So, I mean, when I'm listening to these songs, I mean, I think that's one of the great things about your ability is that you're very eloquent in your lyric and it conveys the meaning without slapping somebody in the head with it. You know, you don't beat somebody over the head with the lyrics and the music, but if you pay attention, you know, you'll get it. Now, I'm not saying all those songs are like that, but I felt that the one that you just referenced, They're Taking My Home, I believe that's the title of it, or something along those lines.
Yeah, Taking Away My Home.
Taking Away My Home was exactly what I'm talking about, and unbelievably well done. What is your... Gosh, I got so many I want to get to here. Hold on. You know what? I'm just going to start playing stuff, and you tell me...
Okay.
You tell me what you think of these tunes. Now, this is not the cover album I'm into yet.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to get to that, but I got a long way to go before that. And
well,
I'm only on the air till 10, Jude, so we got to get this rolling.
Okay.
Here we go.
You got a deal.
Here we go. Here we go. Almost like an R&B song.
Well, it is an R&B song. It's a Stax Volt 1960s William Bell record.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's another great thing about this album is that each different cut has a completely different feel. You know, some artists, they record a hit or whatever, and you can sort of tell who they are just by listening to a general sound of what they record, but not this. I mean, that is a gorgeous song. And we're going to break for the bottom of the hour in about 4 minutes, but
That particular song you just played was off the Coolerator record, not Coup de Main. I have two separate records. One is a tribute to music that I grew up, playing in bands four sets a night in the Quad Cities, Illinois. And these are a little more obscure than some of those songs, of course, but I've always loved that kind of music, always wanted to learn how to make those records. And so I went into the studio and used all the old mics and compressors, and we kind of cut the sessions the same way they would have in the 50s. So that's what that record was about.
Right. Sorry about that. I've got two albums here, and I got a cut mixed up. But I think at this point, since you mentioned that there are two albums... At the same time, What are the albums and where do people get them?
It's strictly online right now. It's their Coup de Main is more of a an extension of my kind of more successful records of You from Third Street and Start the Car. I wanted to continue on with that sound. Mm-hmm. It's been 21 years for me, and I got into management in the year 2000. I started to manage a band called Lifehouse.
Right.
We had a lot of radio success and a lot of touring success. And I've been a very busy man for over 20 years. And I think now with COVID and everything else slowing down, it gave me a chance to go, God, I'm 61 years old. I'd still like to see if I can just, it's not about selling records, John. It's right. not about going right. out and really right. doing anything with it. It was really about seeing if I could match the quality that I had once achieved. And I kind of felt to myself like, God, I really like these records, so I'm gonna seal them up and release them, and just let them live online. So they're on all of the platforms, some right. Apple Music and Spotify and Pandora, everything. So
well, we're gonna
pretty much anywhere there.
We're gonna do more, and hopefully, I'll be able to keep my album separate.
I don't expect to have that memorized yet. I'll call you next week and we'll still check on that.
But right, and we'll do more. We'll do more with Jude when we come back.
I want to be your lover, baby. I want to be your man. I want to be your lover, baby. I want to be your man. I love you like no other, baby, like no other can. I want to be your lover, baby. I want to be your man. 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 Tell me that you love me, baby. Let me understand. Tell me that you love me, baby. I want to be your man.
I want to be your man. Yeah, Beatles there. But before that, our guest Jude Cole from one of his two albums here at 720 WGN. I got to tell you something, Jude. We're getting calls and texts here at the station, and they're exactly the same thing that I said was being posted on your videos on YouTube. Who is this guy with that beautiful voice? Who is this singer? I mean, it's going over very well. Just let me tell you.
How nice.
Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, Paul Simon wrote a great song. Well, he wrote a lot of great songs, but there's one in particular that really comes to mind when I think about my career, and that is "The Heart Approaches What It Yearns." And I didn't like traveling. I really don't care for fame. Mm-hmm. I was a little Midwestern kid who wanted to play in a band and learn the songs on the radio, listening to guys like you, and then learn the songs of the 70s and 60s and 70s acts. The big quest for us was just to sound even good enough to be able to pull it off and do that four sets a night. And it's come full circle now. I had many years of professional, making records over radio and then managing bands, producing bands, and so right. on and so forth. And now I get to go back, make my records, and with kind of no pressure about it. And it feels very much like the days of being 13 again, mm-hmm. listening to songs on the radio, just seeing if I can kind of do a good job. Well, so that part of it is just, it's magic, actually.
So there's two albums. I want to make sure everybody understands that from Jude Cole. And it's more than, how do I put this? It's more than playing, it's more than singing, it's more than writing. There's also a production element that needs to be perfect if you're going to do a song like this.
My love must be a kind of blind love. See anyone but you. Love, love.
much love. Too much love.
Are the stars out tonight?
Too much love.
I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. I only have eyes for you.
Wow. I get chills. I got to tell you, I get chills on that. And when it started, I'm ready. I'm right on the other side of the room, going, I'm ready for my shwop shwops.
You know? which, by the way, John, are not as easy as they sound.
It's right
because they're late.
But the sound is spectacular. To be able to create that.
It took such a long time to figure out that those shwops have to be late, or they don't feel good.
Right.
So, in other words, when you put them right on the beat, it loses something. And so they have to be timed just in that right pocket of late. And it took me a while to get it. And then I'll tell you something else funny about that record is that I really wanted to just, that was a perfect example of me just doing my best flamingos. You know, like I love that version. I love the Art Garfunkel version as well. But the flamingos version, I think, is the stellar king of all of them. And so I was just set out to see if I could even come close. So I had the final recording, and I was listening to it and going, this is really good, but something's not right. And my engineer was astute enough to kind of, you know, come in after a break and say, you know what it is? What it could be is that they've got the reverb on only one side and the other side is completely dry.
Oh gosh. Wow.
So I said, well, let's do that. And so we did that. We put the reverb on one side, which is, I've never done it before. I've been doing this for 42 years in the studio, and I've never done that. So we put the reverb on the right side, and the left side is completely bone dry. And it's this parallax of the ears instead of the eyes. Where in the case of the universe, you use the word parallax for the eyes. But in this case, it's the ears of you really can't tell when you're listening to it. But that was where I went, oh, my God, there it is. There's the
totally.
Magic we were looking for.
Totally, so, totally,
little
totally.
Tricks like that are fun.
I mean, when I first heard that, I was astounded at how authentic it was. I guess that's the word. I mean, I'd already listened to plenty of your stuff with the two new albums, and I knew you could really sing, and I knew you could really play, and I knew you could really write. But when I hit I Only Have Eyes for You, I'm like, oh, man. This is just, it's the same song as before, only it is improved to the sense, in the sense that the technology in recording has changed from back then to now. And you're able to apply all of those nuances that are available now in a recording studio that, to me anyway, gives it a much fuller sound than the original. And you know, you just explained the detail in which you'll go to try to emulate what you were looking for in the original. And I think you were using older equipment. Am I right in recording that song?
Yeah, we really tried to find out how they did it.
Yeah.
And obviously, you can't do it verbatim because certain things don't exist. The cork ceilings and walls that they had back in the 50s studios, some of those things I would have loved to have been able to recreate, but I couldn't do that. And of course, going to tape became a cumbersome. We started out with tape, and then it just became a cumbersome, like, this is not worth it. It's not worth it when you have to rewind and sit and wait all day for the rewind button. So we went to Pro Tools and went, I still think we can make this work, but we just have to be really true to, you know listening and really trying to recreate that. So I hope I did it. That
Trust
was quite
me.
A quote, though. I don't know if that'll fit on an epitaph, but that was a quote I'm going to pull, John.
Please feel free to use it, dude. We're going to take a break, and then I wish the station had permission to play an entire song, because there is one song on the new material that I think is one of the most touching songs I've heard in a long, long time. 720 WGN. John Landecker and I, we have received an okay, Jude, to play the entire song that I was referencing before the break, and I think I've been able to go back into my computer and get it. And let's talk about it afterwards. This is Jude and Partners in Time. Let's see if I can get this going. Here it comes. Come on. Oh, hold on a second. I had to unplug so I could find it, and then I forgot to put the plug back in. Here we go. Now we got it. Now we're cooking.
Was waiting at the bus stop in Hollywood at 2 a.m. Drove right by at first, then I circled around again. He was wearing a Sunday suit, a folded kerchief in his pocket, sitting perfect and polite, like a nightlight in a socket. Said, excuse me, sir, but these buses, they don't run this time of night. If you tell me where you're headed, I could help you with a ride. And he said, oh, I didn't know that. And thank you, yes, you can. So I helped him up in my pickup truck, a frail and kind old man. Partners in time. Partners in time. Now can you give me some direction? Well, that's the first thing I should know. He said, I'm on my way to work, but I'm not sure which way to go. So I parked and we just sat there, both of us confused. When finally he pushed up his suit sleeve, his arm was aged and bruised. He had an old silver bracelet with an address and a number. He lived a couple of miles away and I said, now we're getting somewhere. Partners in time. Partners in time. So I headed east on Melrose and pulled right up to his home. Woman in a nightgown, she came running out alone. And as she opened up his door, he put his hand on mine. And he just held it for a minute before they went inside. And I went back to my apartment to stay up till the dawn. Woke up in the afternoon with my working clothes still on. Partners in time. Partners in time.
That is. That's Jude Cole and Partners in Time. Jude, I know what I think it's about. Why don't you tell us what it's about?
Interesting kind of hearing that, you know, through vicariously through your ears and other ears of people that are listening now. I haven't had the chance to do that. That song is an absolutely verbatim true story that happened when I was recording Start the Car at Cherokee Studios in Hollywood in 1991 and maybe 92. I was coming home. It was about 2 a.m. and this man was sitting there just as pretty as a picture. And I drove by it and I was thinking to myself, wait a minute, like why would he be sitting there by himself at 2 a.m. in a suit? Something wasn't right. And I turned around. I've done that a lot in my life. I asked him where he was going and he didn't really know. Got in my car. I told him I'd take him home. He had no idea. And it became evident that he was suffering from Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do you have anything? And he just shrugged his shoulders. And then finally, I guess it came to him that he lifted up his sleeve, or the suit sleeve, and he had a little bracelet that had his address on it. And it wasn't maybe a mile and a half away. And I took him there. And just like the song says, the woman came running out. They had been looking for him all day. And he did exactly what I said in the song. He put his hand on my hand. And it was a really touching moment. I couldn't sleep most of the night. Now, funny, that was almost 30 years ago. I'm closer to his age now.
Right.
Than I, you know, obviously I was back then, but I'm closer to his age than I am close to the age I was when the experience happened. That's what I really meant to say.
Right.
Yes. And it's one of those things. When you keep your eyes open in the city, you can notice things like that. And some people really do need help. It was a real gift to me, though. And it was nice to be able to have it kind of knock on my mental door again and just be able to sort of dictate it.
Well, when I first heard it, that's the impression I got, was that this person either had Alzheimer's or dementia, mm-hmm. and that's not the usual subject matter of songs that are written, and certainly not as eloquently as you put it together, because the whole idea being partners in time, just, you know, it just really got to me, to be honest. I mean, what a great way to look at it, so to speak. I mean, just because that person is that way and this person is another way and I'm the way I am, that in reality, you know, we are just all partners in time. It's a great title. It's a great song. Obviously, you have a great lyric there. And gosh, I hope, you know, I hope that these songs that you've done get out into the, I don't know, what do we call it? The universe of social media or whatever. I mean, where are your songs available, Jude? Let's go over that again.
Well, my records are still available online on Amazon and so forth. If you want the actual physical CD, which barely anybody does anymore, so
right.
These are all on the stream sites. You can get it on Spotify right now. You can get it on Amazon, Apple Music, anywhere. I'm not making physical product because, to be honest, John, I'm not really that interested. Like you said, you hope it gets out there. Well, it just did. And I'm so grateful to you for doing the interview and putting it on your station. And anytime something like this can happen, I'm just really grateful because I have no expectations, absolutely zero. I do my best work and then the rest is up to the universe.
Absolutely.
So
you know, I find that many artists, whether they be singers or actors, I have a few actors in my family, they're not in it to get the accolades. They're in it to express themselves and to do the work and be satisfied with their output. And when that happens, at least it's my impression, what the product is unbelievably good. It's almost like a paradox. The person that doesn't really look for the fame has the song that would give him that fame if indeed that was his goal. And I'm listening to both of these albums, and you know, the covers of the songs from the 50s are fabulous. The new songs are eloquent, and the reaction we're getting on the phone here at WGN just underscores that. And it's been just a pleasure having you on tonight, and I hope that we can do this again sometime. And whenever you come up with some new material or whatever, please feel free to get a hold of us, because you're really something else. Thank you so much.
I really appreciate that.
All right. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. That's Jude Cole. And it's been a real pleasure to have him on for the entire hour. And I think you can understand how impressed I was when I heard his material. And he's, you know, the guy we don't know who sounds that good. So, you know, that's going to wrap it up. You betcha.